Does life have a purpose? Throughout these next 7 weeks, I want to challenge you to do two things. Number one, I want to challenge you to get here every week. Get here every week and commit to being here for 7 weeks. Now, the reason I'm challenging you is because either your faith or someone else's faith depends on it. Either your faith depends on it because you too are wrestling with these questions and you don't quite know the answers, and that's okay. Questions are okay. I want you to hear before we even begin this series that God is okay with your questions and that God can handle your doubt and that God can handle whatever question you throw at him. The truth and the reality of the matter is the person that sometimes can't handle the question is ourself. And sometimes we especially can't handle the answer. These are hard things. So I want to challenge you to get here every week because not only will it sharpen your faith if you have one, not only will it help you to engage in a conversation if you're in the middle of questioning, but it'll also give you an opportunity to be able to share with those around you helpful insights when they have the same questions. Here's the second challenge I want to put down for you. Get plugged into a discussion group. If a discussion group that we're going to meet here at 5:30 on Sunday nights, if this is too far away or if there's a discussion group that's happening around you, if you go to exploregod.com, you can actually see all the locations in the Chicagoland area, including Naperville, where they're offering discussion groups. Discussion groups are a great opportunity to extend the conversation. It's to move the conversation forward. It's to actually give the conversation a voice, your voice, because your voice matters. Your voice is important. And so our mission here at Trinity is reaching people, to equip people, to reach people. Now, the reason why we say that is because it is the shortest, most concise way that we can boil down the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission is the commission that Jesus put on his disciples before he left this earth. He told them, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples who make disciples. That was really the call that God placed on his disciples then. And so for us as a church, we desire to do the same. But the question that we might have to wrestle with too is how can we equip people who are asking these really tough questions if we ourselves aren't equipped with the answers? So again, this is why this series is so important. So if you're okay, I'm going to jump right into question number one. And again, you've heard me repeat it a couple of times. It's, does life have a purpose? So let me ask you this question. What is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? And I mean, why are you here on this blue orb in the middle of the galaxy, right? What is the purpose of your life? And have you ever really wrestled with that? Are you fulfilling the purpose of your life? You know, these, again, are challenging questions. And I want to be honest with you, belief in God is irrelevant at this point. Belief in God is irrelevant because either way, you're still on this earth. You're still on the planet. But have you ever wrestled with why? I tell people all the time that the two greatest days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why. You see, nobody in this room chose to be born. You realize that, right? Nobody that's listening to my voice through our podcast or nobody that's listening through the internet, nobody chose to be born. So why are you here? And again, this is a great and challenging question. I love to journey people with people as we wrestle and try to figure out the why. In fact, in a lot of ways, that is the whole purpose and the intention of life is getting to the why. Why, God, am I here? There's times in my own life that I've wrestled with this question. In fact, it was the summer before my senior year in high school. I wrestled with, what am I supposed to do? Now, I know you're thinking, you're like, well, it's just after your junior year, you're going into high school. I mean, there's points along our journey where we find ourselves asking those critical questions. I mean, we definitely start asking those questions if we're seniors in college, don't we? And we go, whoa, why, what's going to happen from here? Some of us have four-year degrees and we graduate and we go, what do I do now? So for me, I wrestled with this question. I was so really blown away by God's answer. You see, God was taking a punk kid from South Philly and he was calling him into ministry. And here's the interesting thing about this wrestling with my purpose. I didn't trust God with it. Honestly, I thought God had it wrong. I really thought, I'm like, God, you can't take a person like me. You can't take my story. In fact, I didn't believe that not only was I not good enough, I really honestly believed that I was not smart enough, that I didn't have the education to be able to go and become a pastor. So while I was wrestling with my purpose, I was actually doubting God, and I wasn't trusting God with the answer. And so in October even of 2010, at this point, I had been in youth ministry for 8 years. And here again, God brought to me this opportunity to really wrestle with my purpose. Now, in youth ministry, you actually have to multiply by 7 because it's dog years, you know? I mean, like, so really it was like 56 years of ministry. And here I am. I love youth ministry. I love my kids. I love my church. I love what God's doing in us. My wife and I are on ministry, on staff together, and God starts to shake things up again. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, I thought, God, that you called me into youth ministry forever. Now God was saying, no, I've got something more. And to be honest with you, there's, again, those points along our journey where we ask, is this my full purpose? Is this what I'm supposed to do? And the incredible thing is the journey that God took both Pastor Kaylee and myself on, and for 14 months, we journeyed to answer that question. And the answer to that question landed me here as your pastor. And people ask me, you know, do you miss youth ministry? And I say, no, I still do youth ministry. I just do it for adults. Now, some of us don't spend a lot of time actually thinking about our purpose because, truthfully, it's scary, isn't it? It can be scary when we begin to dive deeper down into a level of asking the question, what is my purpose? Am I fulfilling my purpose? Because when we begin to question our purpose, it causes us to ask a much deeper question. And that much deeper question is, who's leading? Who's leading? So really, to be honest with you, there's multiple things that we tend to think about in this process. And maybe some of you this morning, you're thinking, well, am I here because I got myself here? And you might be saying, well, I mean, I'm a kind of a bootstrap person, and I'm here because I got myself here, and no, God hasn't helped me, and no one else has helped me, and I'm pretty independent and self-sufficient, and I got here all on my own. Or you might be here saying, am I here because God put me here? Maybe you're wrestling with that understanding that I believe that God put me here, and I'm still trying to figure out maybe the why of that. Or maybe you know the why, or fulfilling the purpose, or fulfill the purpose, and I believe that it just keeps going and going. Or you may be sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, am I here because of chance? It's just all random. I don't believe that I had a choice, and I don't believe that God made a choice, and I don't believe that any of all of this matters. I'm just here because this is just where I'm supposed to be at this point in time. Because really, there is no purpose. You know, Ernest Hemingway actually is quoted as saying, life is just a dirty trick, a short journey from nothingness to nothingness. Boy, I hope that's not true. Don't you? That sounds like there's a lot of lack of hope in that. Life is a dirty trick. Now, the search for purpose is not a new concept. In fact, even if you search the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find biblical characters and people within the scripture over and over again that are searching for a purpose or asking the question, what is the meaning of life? Think about Adam. When Adam was created, Adam shows up on the scene. He looks around. You know, thank goodness he had God to tell him what he was supposed to do, because I'm sure he's going, where am I? Right? And then all of a sudden, Eve shows up. Who are you? And then you go all the way into Revelation. I'm sure John, the revelator who wrote the book of Revelation, he too was asking all these challenging questions. There's this search, this deep longing to find this meaning, this purpose. And it's not new to us. But I want to share with you today, we're going to focus on one person in the Old Testament that devoted their entire life to answering this question. Now, aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that we have a person that we can look at who has actually, they had this social experiment of dedicating their whole entire life to answering the question, what is the meaning of life? And his name was King Solomon. King Solomon dedicated his whole entire life to answering this question. Now, the things you have to know about Solomon are this. At one point on earth, he was more rich, more powerful, had more women, and he was more wise than any other person living on the planet. So this guy, right? He has all of these things, and he's asking the question, what is the meaning of life? He had it all. He tried it all. And he discovered some profound things that we're going to look at this morning. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, Ecclesiastes, if you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, the yellow Bible is going to be on page 505. So 505 in the yellow Bible. And then if you're using the red Bible is going to be on page 588. Now, if I could just take a few seconds and share with you the purpose of these Bibles. If you're using a Pew Bible, if you need a Bible, those are gifts to you. We encourage you to take one of these Bibles this morning if you need a Bible, and they are gifts. If you don't believe me, just open up the front cover and you'll see it right in there. It says, this is a gift to you. And you'll see people that walk around with red Bibles and yellow Bibles, so it's not weird or anything. So take that with you. It's yours. It's our gift. We love to see God's Word go from this place. And especially during this series, we're going to be grounding all of these questions in the Word of God. And so those are going to be really, really helpful as we move forward. So now, what I want to tell you about Ecclesiastes, this book, it's a profound book, actually, Solomon was participating in this social experiment, he actually was journaling all of it. So he wrote down his results. He wrote everything down. He wrote everything that he did. He was a pragmatist, so he had all of it lined out, and we get to read his journal. We get to look at the results that he came up with. And I think that's really beneficial for us. You're going to read about his pursuit of wine, his pursuit of women. You're going to read about his pursuit of power and status. You'll even read about his pursuit of education and more knowledge. You'll actually read about his pursuit of adrenaline. Solomon was an adrenaline junkie. He loved going fast, you know, and he loved living life loose. And you name it, Solomon left no stone unturned. So as we begin to read his kind of field manual, his journal of his experience, we get to the first chapter and second verse. So this is Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2. And this sums up all of the contents of his journal. It says here, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, meaning Solomon. Completely meaningless. All right, well, let's all stand, we'll pray, and we'll go home. Now listen, if you're trying to sell a book, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, right? And I'm not trying to tell you how to author your book. But you typically don't start with your synopsis or your conclusion in the second sentence. Because what's the point of actually reading the rest of it, right? So we look here and we see that Solomon says everything is meaningless. And this was his conclusion. He would say that he pursued everything, not just some things, but everything. Now listen to this, under the sun. Now that's a phrase that he uses often throughout his book. He'll use the phrase that I have pursued everything under the sun. That's important. I pursued everything under the sun apart from God to find meaning and purpose in my life. This is what he did. Apart from God, he wanted to find meaning and purpose, so he dove deep, real deep. And so let's take a look at some of these things that he did. You know, if Solomon had a reality TV show, it would be like Keeping Up with Solomon. Seriously. The Kardashians could not have kept up with Solomon. Realistically. He kind of would be like the Morgan Spurlock. Do you know that name? Morgan Spurlock was the guy who did Super Size Me. Right? So, and he also had the television show 30 Days, where he was willing to try something for 30 days. And then he also got other people involved in this social experiment, and he had them try things for 30 days. This is almost exactly what Solomon did. He tried something for 30 days or for an extended period of time. And all while doing this, he was trying to provide or he was trying to pursue meaning in life apart from God. So, at the end of the day, Solomon would look back on his life. And he would realize that the things that he pursued without God, all those things came back empty, void, and meaningless in his life. He said, these things added no value to my life. So let's begin reading actually in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And what I'm going to do as we read this, I'm going to give you kind of the modern day equivalent to what he was doing then. Right, so we're going to look at who he was then, and I'm going to give you the modern-day equivalent of what that would maybe translate for us today. He says, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good is it to seek pleasure? So now Solomon becomes a comedian. He tries his hand at comedy. And after much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. So what does Solomon do? He becomes an alcoholic. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness, meaning he was in the party scene. He went to all the clubs. Great, now you just can't get Solomon up there. What's up? Hey, ladies. Anyway. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards, meaning he moved to California. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. He went green. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. He was a conservationist. I bought slaves, both men and women and others who were born in my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. He became a farmer. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. So he invested in Wall Street. Now, let's stop here for a minute. Now, you might be thinking, as you kind of go through this list and you hear my modern-day equivalents, why is this meaningless? This actually doesn't sound that bad, right? Why would it be meaningless? Because listen, being a farmer, going green, being a conservationist, and being rich, none of those are bad things. In fact, none of those are even sinful. But you see, there's one fundamental flaw in Solomon's approach. And his flaw is actually seen all throughout his journal. All throughout his journal, we see these words repeated over and over again, and it becomes his flaw in what he's trying to do. Here are these four words: I, my, me, and myself. If you go back and you read this journal and you read his entries, they're all about I and my and me. And myself. Let's keep reading. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. Now, honestly, Solomon was a Jewish gigolo. That is literally the nicest way that I could say that. He had more women than he even knew what to do with. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me, which means he was a genius. He was smart. He had intelligence. Anything that I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. So basically, his thought process was, if I wanted it, I took it. And if I couldn't buy it, I took it. And, you know, so if he wanted it, he would buy it. And if he couldn't buy it, he would take it. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all of my labors. He was a workaholic. He even tried to find meaning in life by pouring himself into his work. And he worked hard. We know some of the projects that Solomon took on. He was a hard worker. But as I looked at everything, verse 11, I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless. Now listen to what he equates it to. Like chasing the wind. Have you ever seen somebody chase the wind? It's kind of funny looking. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Now hear this. Hear this. This is a person who had everything. It reminds me of a video clip that I've showed here before of Tom Brady. Tom Brady, you know, quarterback for New England, who was interviewed after his, 17th Super Bowl. And he had won, 16 in a row. That's not true. Don't Google that. But he had accomplished so much. I mean, he is known in the NFL as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And he was interviewed. And literally Tom Brady, who has a model for a wife, who has all the riches he could ask for, has all these Super Bowl MVPs and Super Bowl titles, and he's been to the Pro Bowl every year that he's been alive. And in this interview, he even was quoted as saying, "But I feel like that there's something more." Even in the midst of all of that, and we look at Solomon's story and it's the same. He had riches. He had all these different things. He had education. He had knowledge. He had all this stuff. And yet he gets to the end of it and he says, but it was all meaningless. So let's learn from Solomon's experience. He's saying, if you want to have real meaning, if you want to have real purpose in your life, you're only going to find it in the one real, true, and living God. That's what he's saying. So his conclusion when he says that everything is meaningless is that life is meaningless without God. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, but I don't know if I really believe in God. And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. Because come back next week. Because question two in our series is there a God? We're going to turn that stone over. We're going to wrestle with that. We're going to ask that question, is there a God? So when we look at all of this, we have to apply this to who we are. And again, a question that you may be asking is, all right, Pastor, let's say I want to try finding meaning and purpose through God. How do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is where we turn to Jesus. You see, Jesus was God in the form of a man. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Colossae, and he was speaking about Jesus when he wrote this letter to this really early church, this little tiny church in Colossae. And he writes to them, and he talks about Jesus. And in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18, and I'm going to read from the Message, because I like the way it reads here. It says, "We look at this Son," meaning Jesus, "and see the God who cannot be seen," meaning the invisible God is made visible through the person of Jesus Christ. The invisible God is made visible through the person of Jesus Christ. He says, "We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him." Again, meaning Jesus. Now, this is really helpful for us. If you remember the phrase that Solomon kept using, it was, "I have tried and I've experienced everything under the sun." You see, what's amazing about that experience is that Solomon would get to the place where he realized that it was everything under the sun that really couldn't give him meaning in his life. But there's also everything above the sun. Everything under the sun is everything that we experience, and everything above the sun is what God experiences. And the greatest purpose and the meaning of our life is not going to be found in the things that are under the sun. It's going to be found in the things that are above the sun. And that's why this passage of scripture is so important for us, because it says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Jesus was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. Aren't you thankful for that? That Jesus is the one that holds everything up until this moment. Meaning, the reason why you're here, we sang about it earlier, is because there is no mountain that God won't climb. There is no wall that he won't kick down. There is no lie that he won't tear down, that he will leave the 99. He will pursue the one, and his love is reckless. Meaning, it doesn't make sense. And it's not wise. If you think about the love of Christ in the world around us, it's actually not really smart to do what he does. Who leaves 99 perfectly good sheep to go after one? You got 99 that are still doing really well, and they didn't choose to wander off. But yet the reckless love of God searches and searches and searches and fights until we're found. That's an amazing love. And because God loves us, and because he ultimately does want us to find our purpose, he sent his son Jesus to show us that this invisible God has been now made visible for us. And he communicated to us incredible truths about how we too can find this ultimate purpose, this ultimate meaning of life. The purpose of life has puzzled many, including Solomon, for thousands of years. But you see, where many have failed is actually in where they started. You see, we tend to start like Solomon did with I, my, me, and myself. And the amazing thing that I can share with you this morning as we begin to journey together over these next 7 weeks is that there is a purpose to why you are here. And it doesn't start and end with you. It starts and ends with Jesus. And when you begin to journey with him, I can tell you this from my own personal experience, that it opens up an adventure that you never thought possible. If I had time, I would call on people here that are sitting in this room that never in a million years would think that they're doing the things that they're doing before they found Christ. And ultimately, not because they found Christ, because Christ found them. It's amazing when we really begin to allow ourselves to wrestle with this question. So we're going to continue to search and search, and we're going to realize this truth. And we're going to continue to search and search until we realize this truth. Everything got started in Jesus, and it finds its purpose in Jesus. And again, let me just help you by saying that maybe you're sitting here and you go, I don't know if I really believe in this Jesus character. Next week, we're going to talk about, is there a God? And then, in one of the in week four, we're going to talk about, or week five, is Jesus really God? So we're going to answer these critical questions. Stay with us for the journey. Can we do that? Can we do that? I'm actually going to invite the band to come back up. And the song that we had sang, The Trust, it's a new song for us. We're going to finish our service this morning by singing that song as a response. And maybe you're just new to this whole church thing, and you're checking this whole thing out. good for you. We're glad you're here. This is a great place. My prayer and my hope for you is that as we journey together, we'll do this together. We'll walk side by side, and we'll be not afraid to ask the really tough questions. So as we close our service this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing this this new song that I think really helps us to understand exactly what does this journey look like, and we're just going to keep on journeying together.